Good morning. It's a wonderful thing to be able to gather with the Lord's people in spite of the cold outside and be warm and be warmed both inwardly and outwardly from the glory of His warm light. The passage that we're going to look at this morning is from Psalm 118, just verses 22, 23, and 24. This is the word of the Lord. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. O Lord, we need to hear from You this morning. We pray that You would speak and that Your servants would be listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that we have some engineers in our midst this morning. I am an engineer at heart. My father was an engineer. My brother was and is. I was an engineering student in college until I shifted to prepare for a career in ministry. And this is probably why I love TV shows like Engineering Disasters and Engineering Catastrophes, which analyze why bridges collapse, why airplanes crash, why buildings cave in. Engineering mishap shows begin with a description of the disaster which occurred, and then they pose the question of how things could have gone so wrong. What happened to cause this calamity? And after an in-depth investigation, it is usually found that there was some mistake, some error of judgment, some miscalculation, some oversight, some faulty part that was used, some foolish shortcut that was taken, which ultimately led to disaster. Well, it would be helpful if a cosmic investigation were to be done. It is clear to virtually everyone that something has gone very wrong in the world. It seems right now that the deepest unity that mankind is experiencing today is in our agreement that things are not well. It is obvious that somehow the world is broken and that people are suffering the ill effects of it. Conflicts, polarization, injustice, corruption, generational tension, mental illness, cruelty, hostility, racism, breakdown of the family, sexual abuse, human trafficking, massive debt, identity confusion, despair, loneliness, war, and I could go on and on. This world seems like a train wreck happening in slow motion, and it's heartbreaking. This world could be such a place of beauty and justice and harmony and cooperation and peace. But instead, it is a disaster of cosmic proportions. It is fitting that we spend some time asking, what's wrong? What caused this disaster? This is crucial if we're going to be able to understand the world that we live in or the age that we live in, unless we know the answer to this question, we won't be able to understand how to proceed in the future. Well, the ultimate engineer who set the stars in their places and created all things puts his finger precisely on what's gone wrong in this world in Psalm 118, where his word refers to the stone that the builders rejected. It's using the image of a construction site where some great stone building is being built. And it tells us that as the building is being prepared to be built, the builders were presented with a certain stone to be the cornerstone of the building. As you know, a cornerstone is at the corner of the foundation of a building. And all the rest of the foundation and all the rest then of the building itself are set and measured from this cornerstone. So if the cornerstone is not perfectly square, it throws off the whole rest of the building. And therefore, that stone must be true and perfectly straight. So only if the cornerstone is perfect can the whole building be sound. But if the cornerstone is off, the whole building is thrown off. That's why construction managers sometimes reject cornerstones, because they were not perfect and true. And this verse tells us what went wrong with the construction of this building. When the problem is isolated, when you drill down to exactly what went wrong, the problem wasn't with the cornerstone. It wasn't cracked or crooked or curved. It wasn't set carelessly. No, it wasn't anything like that. What happened was that when the builders were presented with this particular stone, for some reason they found it objectionable, though it was the only perfect stone. And they would not accept it as the cornerstone. They rejected it. They cast it aside. And that was the pivotal moment, the crucial mistake, the disastrous choice which brought about the great engineering disaster which turned the whole world into a train wreck. Because of that choice, the whole building is off. The whole structure is unsound. Peter gives us the identity of this stone in Acts 4:11, where he's talking to the rejectors of the stone. And he says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which now has become the cornerstone." So Jesus is the stone in mind here. He was given by God to the builders, and he was summarily rejected by them. Jesus was the perfect cornerstone, but he was rejected by the ones who were constructing the world as it presently is. And something else was put in its place. All through history, there has been the promise of a coming hope since the very beginning. A coming Savior, a coming King, a coming Messiah who would set things right. But when this promised one finally came, instead of accepting him and building their lives upon him and their world upon him, sadly, he was despised and rejected. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is the tragedy which has reverberated down through the ages, all through the world. It's why everything is such a mess. Our world is not built on a sure foundation. It is built on a foundation that is skewed, cracked, unsound, crooked. For it was built on a foundation of man, man's wisdom, man's ingenuity, man's glory, man's ambitions. And man has proven to be anything but a good foundation upon which to build. So it is no surprise that the world is catastrophically broken. We shouldn't expect it to work. It's a mess for a reason. The one foundation stone which would have worked, the one sure foundation, was rejected. And that rejection has wreaked the havoc. But that's not the end of the story. Before Psalm 118 came the prophet Isaiah, who told us more about this rejection of this stone, who was Jesus the Messiah. It says in chapter 8, 14 and 15, he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the houses, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. This tells us that behind the rejection of the stone that was that the builders were actually offended by this perfect stone. He called them to align themselves with him, but they were not at all interested in that. They wanted him to align himself with them. There are a number of ways that people can relate to a stone. They can build on it, but they can also stumble over it. And that's what's happening here. Because they found it objectionable, it became for them a rock of stumbling, which tripped them up so that they fell. The Apostle Paul quotes these words from Isaiah 8, along with the words of Isaiah 28, in Romans 9, 32 to 33, referring to those who rejected Jesus. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion, that's Isaiah 28, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and that's Isaiah 8, 14. And then in Matthew 21 and Luke 20, Jesus himself quotes Psalm 118 after the parable of the tenants. But he goes on to add a new dimension to the stone image. He says, the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush them. So Jesus introduces another way that humans can relate to stones. Stones can fall on them and crush them. And when the cornerstone which they have rejected falls upon them in wrath, in terror, they will beg for literal stones to fall on them that they might be protected from him. We read this in Revelation 6. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? But Psalm 118 tells us more. Verse 22 goes on to tell us that God did something about this catastrophic mistake. It says the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So this verse tells us that God didn't just leave the rejected stone laying on the side of the construction site as a testimony of the tragedy of its rejection. He retrieves the rejected stone and raises it up for use as a cornerstone in another building project. He uses that rejected stone to erect a structure unlike the world has ever known. We know it's God who does this because of what comes next. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. In Isaiah 28, which I referred to earlier, says the same thing. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. This brings us to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I imagine some of you have already gone there in your minds, because this amazing passage quotes all three of these Old Testament passages about the cornerstone that we've looked at. Psalm 118, Isaiah 8, Isaiah 28, and brings it all together in describing the Lord's marvelous new building project. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. That's Isaiah 28. So the honor is for you who believe, Peter goes on. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That, of course, is Psalm 118. And here he quotes Psalm 118 quotes Isaiah 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, Peter says, because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. This teaches us at least five things. It proves that all these passages are talking about the same thing. It proves that they are all talking about mankind's rejection of Jesus. It proves that God is building an alternative structure, here a spiritual house, upon the perfect but rejected cornerstone, which is actually chosen and precious to God. Fourthly, it tells us what God is building, a spiritual house. We read this morning in Ephesians 2, which calls it a holy temple and a dwelling place for God. And finally, this passage tells us what this divine builder is using as building materials to build upon this cornerstone. In verse 5, it says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. But there's something else which begins to become clear in this passage and in other New Testament passages, especially in Acts 4, where Peter connects the rejection of the cornerstone with the rejection of Jesus. And this, I think, is the most important thing you're going to hear from me this morning. Not only did the great builder of the whole universe use the rejected stone to build a glorious temple, he actually used the rejection of the stone itself to do so. You see, the rejection of God's chosen stone, Jesus, culminated in the cross, where the perfect stone gave his life as a sacrifice for sin. The cross of his rejection became the cross of our acceptance. So not only did God use the rejected cornerstone to build an eternal dwelling place for his people to live with him, but he used the very rejection of the cornerstone to redeem them and take them as his own. For he who was despised and rejected by men was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. This is astounding. God took what appeared to be a death blow against him and turned it into his secret weapon, his instrument of life. And this leads us to the next phrase of Psalm 118. After the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, this is the Lord's doing. Verse 23 goes on to say, it is marvelous in our eyes. This great accomplishment of the Lord is viewed as marvelous by the Lord's people. Think about how different this is from the initial reaction to this stone. The two reactions couldn't be more dissimilar. Those who were offended by him and repudiated him, and of course also repudiate and are offended by his temple of living stones. And on the other hand, for those who are being built into a dwelling of God, they think it's marvelous. They think it's the best thing that ever happened. And it is so marvelous that the psalmist in the next verse calls all of God's people to rejoice in the day of this astounding development. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, that's what this verse is all about. You usually hear it taken out of context. But this is what it's talking about. This day that the Lord has done this amazing thing, taking the rejection of his son, his stone, and turning it into the redemption of his people. You see, Psalm 118, 22 to 24 has bad news and good news. The bad news is that the builders rejected the stone which should have been the cornerstone. The good news is what C.S. Lewis called the deeper magic, that the Lord has done a marvelous thing with this precious, perfect, but rejected stone. And even with the rejection itself, he used it as the cornerstone of a marvelous new building project. This is good news. This is the good news. Let us rejoice and be glad. And so this is the world that we live in. It is the site of the great engineering disaster of all time. The tragic rejection of the perfect cornerstone. Much of the world lives in despair on account of this disaster. They blame each other. One group blames another group. They fight each other. They curse their own misery. You know, we live in a nice development in the suburbs, and yet one of our neighbors has a bumper sticker that says, "It is what it is, and it isn't good." And that's general. This is as good as it gets. This is people that have plenty and live in a rather high level, and that's the way that they view life. Yet they refuse to face the fact that their own personal rejection of the cornerstone, along with a similar rejection by the bulk of humanity, is the culprit. They refuse to give God thanks for their lives and for his provisions and protections, but they're quick to blame him for the unpleasantness of life. Why have you made me like this? As Paul says in Romans 9:20. But our world is also the site of the greatest engineering feat of all time, the construction of a stupendous structure upon the very same stone that was rejected. Ephesians 2 calls it the household of God, a holy temple in the Lord, and a dwelling place for God, the place where God and man can be living together in union, in harmony, and in love. So there are two humanities. On the one hand, there's a humanity of rejection, a humanity which is offended by Jesus, who views him not as the solution, but as the problem. And on the other hand, there is a humanity of acceptance, a humanity which views him as perfect, as chosen, as precious. There are those whose defining characteristic is the rejection of Jesus, and there are those whose defining characteristic is the acceptance of Jesus as their cornerstone. What differentiates them from one another is not primarily who they are, but who they're built on. So each of us must either build our life on this cornerstone or ultimately be crushed by this cornerstone. Those are our only two options. This may sound harsh, but it's what the Bible says and what Jesus says. Isaiah 8 says, he will be a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. If, on the other hand, you build your life upon the rejected and crucified rock, God's chosen cornerstone, then, though you groan that the cornerstone was rejected, and that there's so much misery in life and in this world around us, God has done something marvelous, which more than trumps that groaning. In looking back on the day of Christ's coming and looking forward to the day of Christ's return and looking at the present day of the Lord's presence with his people, and the help that he gives us through his Spirit, we say together, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For if God can take the horror of the cross and turn it into something beautiful and glorious, he can turn the worst things that we experience and the worst things that we witness into beauty and glory as well. Let us pray. Lord, you have spoken to us in your word precious things. Things that help us to understand our lives and understand the world in which we live. What a gift. What a precious gift. Now help us, Lord, to have the right perspective as we walk through this place and live this life that you have called us to live. Help us to see the one who is invisible, and to taste and see his goodness, and to rest upon his wisdom and his knowledge above our own. Even as The world screams to us discouraging things. Oh Lord, we thank you that you speak to us very encouraging things in your word. Help us to believe them. We pray in Jesus' name.